You're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello, how are you doing? This is RBLR Sports. Catch you off guard there at the start of our podcast?
Yeah, I forgot for a second.
Oh, hello. We're nailing it tonight. All right. This is RBLR Sun. My name is Liz. That's Tom DePinto. How are you doing, Tom?
Liz, I'm doing, it's a big week to be a Sun fan, so I'm doing pretty nice.
It is a big week. It's exciting. Lots of.
I feel good about what happened. I feel good about what's going to happen.
I do too, honestly.
Yeah.
All right. If you're new here, welcome. Hi. Hello. I haven't done this in a minute because I'm really bad at plugging our own podcast on our podcast. So, like, comment, subscribe if you could, so you don't miss anything. Because look at our beautiful faces on YouTube. We're awesome.
Stop.
So, Tom, we just had a match.
We did, didn't we?
We did. It was not bad. Honestly, no. We had a 1-1 draw against Brooklyn, which is the number one team on the table right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it was always going to be a tough game going in. So
yeah, but you know what? Don't come to Riverfront Stadium. Don't come to Big Jim with a shutout streak because we'll end that.
Yeah.
We will end that. We did that for Brooklyn.
Yep. We told Carolina, don't come down here with that stuff because we don't like it. Mm-mm. We tell Brooklyn, don't come down here with your hot streak. We don't like hot streaks down here.
Nope.
We are the hot team around.
The hot team with the even hotter supporters group.
Right. It's right in the name, y'all. Of course. Yeah. And I mean, literally speaking, well, I guess not literally because, like, you can't All right, not literally speaking, but you know what I mean. We were the hotter team. We had already played a league match, whereas Brooklyn was coming off their, 2-month-long vacation in Italy where they were making pizza and eating pastas and sipping on olive oil.
Yes, you let them know that at the game, too.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Not jealous or nothing. So you could kind of tell it's obviously a very good Brooklyn team. They've proved it throughout the fall season. But you could tell that they hadn't played and that we had. We came out, I think it was a little slow to start the game. Both sides kind of feeling each other out. And I think we started to click a little bit quicker than they did, actually, right?
Significantly. Yeah. The Brooklyn gets a corner around the 13th. Nacella gets fouled for the first time for the 9th minute. That's pretty early, but not the earliest it's ever been. You got to make note of all the Nacella fouls, of course.
That's the drinking game with the Sun.
Yeah, although I have to say, Pluck is the one who on Brooklyn who ends up scoring the goal, and she was pretty hungry for it all night. As early as the 14th minute, she had a really nice shot that hit the post.
Yeah, that's a literary device we call foreshadowing. It was a banger. She was yards outside of the 18. She was 25, 30 yards out from a weird angle, too, not just straight on or nothing, going to the far post on it. And you could tell in person. It's a little weird on the broadcast, but you can tell in person from right behind her, Ashley did get, like, fingertips to it.
Okay.
Just enough to push it a little bit. It's a hard save for a goalie to make that early in the game, expecting a shot from that far out. And it's good to see that she reacted well because sometimes you've seen with her a shot from distance can take her by surprise. She was ready for it this time.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that first goal Gotham scored.
Yeah, talk about a shot from distance, right?
Oh, that was rough.
Yeah.
You haven't we'll get to it later. But if you haven't gone and looked up the goals from the Gotham the Fort Lauderdale Gotham game, sure. you should because whoo,
Yeah, they rooted the goalie. But she got just enough on it actually to push it to the post.
Yes.
And that's huge for the confidence going forward. You can see she looked pretty composed on the ball. If that had gone just a millimeter differently, we could be looking at a whole different scoreline, a whole different match, a whole different way of spending our Saturday night. That would have been a little less pleasant.
Yeah, especially that early in the match.
Yeah, so she did exactly what you got to do early. You got to applaud Brooklyn for going for that early shot. I think Mackenzie Pluck had family in town too. I saw a couple people with Pluck jerseys, and when she did score, there was a little section that popped off. So I'm not sure if she's
it a local. Figures the friggin' New York transplants.
Yeah, hey. Don't blame me.
I have
me.
No idea if she's even from idea. New York. I'm just making terrible jokes.
Wasn't my idea to come down here.
Wasn't mine either.
Yeah. No, she's not from, yeah, she's from Pennsylvania, Pluck. I don't know what her family is doing down here.
All right. Yeah, good point.
Transplants.
Yeah. we could also make some comments that we will try to be as reserved as we can be about the refereeing. Because the refereeing was a whole other player in this game.
Yeah, it's.
And I went and I looked up this guy, and I'm not going to say his name because you can go back to the broadcast and find it if you want.
John Graves.
Okay, well, I was going to try and be nice, but I went and I looked up his history. It might have been his first match as center official for the Super League, but it was not his first match as center official. Period, and that does not explain that. That is. Boggles the mind with some of the calls that he made and were made on the field. He's a seasoned ref going back several years. He's done Rowdy's games. He's done NWSL games. Yeah. Yeah, he's been all over. Seasoned.
Seasoned, yeah. It's frustrating for a referee to... You don't ever want to blame, as a player, as a fan, as a coach, you don't want to blame the referees for nothing. Both teams have the same referee. But I felt like this game, more than any other, the referee was part of the story. He was very much involved in the game in a way you don't want the referee to be.
The ref had some hidden pinstripes on.
Yeah, really.
Honestly, because the thing that brought this up was like, in like the 18th minute, Paige was absolutely fouled. And it was not called. It's like, okay. And that was just the start of so many calls.
Yeah. So some questionable offsides that he was in a good position to overrule the linesman on and didn't. The one that really stuck out to me was a really late in the game. Should have been a penalty kick for us. Came off the shins of a Brooklyn player and just everybody was just like, nah, that's a goal kick. And it so everyone in the stadium could tell. And there was more. It's you know, you can't complain too much when you come away with a point against the league leaders. And I don't think there's any one moment where it was like, oh, I mean, there were no penalty kicks or nothing.
The whole match was really, we played incredibly well considering, yeah. I mean, we played incredibly well, period. And then we played even better if you think about we're not playing with our usual starters. Yeah. We're playing with some players who haven't had a significant, I hate to say this like this, but a significant amount of minutes on the field, you know, a solid 45 since before we got our international players in October, something like that.
Yeah, we had to get a little creative because we didn't have Hawk's daughter. She was away playing for Iceland. Mm-hmm. And Cecilia Flo, there it is. Cecilia Flo, I'm just going to pronounce it differently and wrongly over time, and I apologize. But they were both gone on international duty. Brooklyn was only without starting goalkeeper Sidney Martinez, who was between the pipes from Puerto Rico when they played Estonia in Turkey. You know, that classic footballing rivalry.
Puerto Rico versus Estonia.
Yeah, and you got to play it in Turkey. Come on. But that's the thing too. Her backup, Niku Purcell, named like a Japanese cat. She deserves the starting spot on so many other teams in the league, was at the national team's futures camp along with Lexi Massimo, and she played like it. So they didn't have to tweak the roster at all, really.
No.
They just put in another very good goalie. Things were a little more interesting from us. I'll run through the lineup real quick. We were doing a 3-4-1-2, which I think is another new formation for us. Is that right? Did we do this last week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We like totally switched up the formation.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one. I feel like you don't see a lot of 3-4-1-2s. Even when you do see three in the back, it's the whole thing is, I mean, I like it. It's different. But the left back start went to Haugen, new signing. Hendricks holding it down in the middle as the pure center back. Viv Bissett on the right side as the right back, which, again, three back set for us. Interesting, new. Most of the turnover recently has kind of been in the defensive side, so you expect things to get a little interesting there. Bissett does do a really good job of bringing that ball up, pinging some passes up. She gets credit for a really good pass later on in the game. So she brings something different to that right side. And you can see it in the passing chart from this past game. Typically, we bring things up the left side and then try to swing it in. Everything this game seemed to be dictated on the passes from Viv Bissett starting out of the right side.
Okay.
Pretty interesting to see. So that was our back three, Haugen, Hendricks, Bissett. You get into the midfield. You had Nacello on the left, Jade Moore, Jordan Listero, and Paige Almendarez on the right. So, you know, Nacello's got freedom to roam. Almendarez got that speed. She likes to get upfield too. She's played a lot of right back. So that's an interesting thing too, but I feel like we've got a lot of leeway to get creative in the midfield. Listero and Moore are, you know, I mean, Flint even dropping back into the midfield. Those three are destroyers. They'll wreck whatever a team wants to do to happen.
Yeah, I have it at one point, but basically the goal gets scored by Flint and Morse basically completely switching positions on the field.
Yeah, yeah.
Like really seamlessly too, honestly. The way a lot of positions kind of got moved around really, really fluidly showed in this last match, I love to see, honestly. I like to see that kind of cohesion. There was no confusion on the field, which is, yes.
Yeah. I think that fluidity has been kind of a hallmark of our team this whole season, actually. People like to move around. People like to
talk to each other. I feel like we're really nailing it in this second half of the season.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I do think we are.
Yeah. Sorry, that was what I meant when you know, sometimes in the first half of the season, there were a couple of times where it'd be like, wait, why? I mean, there were still a couple of times where it'd be like, wait, who were we passing the ball to here? But there was no discernible confusion on the field, which was nice.
Yeah, it was more out of a necessity in the early half of the season. Almost not quite panic, but now it seems very purpose-driven.
Yeah.
Yeah, to finish up that formation, we had Jamona as the one attacking midfielder. And I think that's just a testament to her gravity. People see what a good dribbler, how strong she is on the ball. They know she can score. So she's going to draw people in, and that'll create space for the two forwards, Parker Goins and Flint. And again, I'm not saying this because it's theoretical. I'm saying this because it happened in the game. All of these things. You know, these players were put there for a reason, and this is the reason it played out. The team really stuck to the game plan, I feel like, of creating space for each other, drawing players in, swapping on the fly when they felt like they needed to. Maybe the closest thing we've gotten to fun, exciting soccer.
Pretty soccer.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the pretty soccer DSB's been telling us about.
It's here now, y'all. Yeah, and pretty soccer isn't always necessarily, you know, Yoga Bonito with like South African skill moves on the ball and dancing on it. And sometimes it's just having a team of players that trust each other and is able to and is able to operate as a really cohesive unit.
Yeah.
You don't realize it's pretty until you realize you've been watching something really pretty happen for the past 10 minutes. And I got that feeling a lot watching the game, which is impressive against the league leaders.
Yeah, honestly, I kind of expected us to maybe get a little stuck in.
Yeah.
As we've had a tendency to do in the past, not in the past two games because we've done so well, but in the past, especially against Brooklyn, because they really seem to have had our number last time. I believe it was like a 1-0 loss.
I think 2-1 the last time we played them up there, and I think 1-0 they beat us down here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I was a little worried we might get stuck in. I loved how we came out. Like you said, it was a little bit slow in the beginning, and then we really came out charging. Like even Flint, I think she gets a card for this, but she just, she doesn't get a card for this. She just completely body checks one of the other Brooklyn players and hits her either so hard or just it's either a combination of either she hit her so hard or so quick that by the time that she's passed the ball up to Moore, you can see in the replay of the goal, the player that Flint body checked is still getting up. Yeah. And that was great, honestly.
It's one of those situations where you're too embarrassed to get up quickly because it's like, where did she come from even?
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. That's that kind of fluidity. It lends itself to that. You know, you've got Listro's not the strongest player going in for the tackles, but she's got good vision. But when you allow Flint to drop in, and, you know, you're a midfielder for Brooklyn, you've been dealing with that pair of Moore and Listro, and you kind of know where you want to go to avoid them and what you want to do when you get the ball. And all of a sudden, Flint, the striker, comes running up at you and just decks you cleanly. You know, it's you got blindsided. You got ran over by the subway all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And that allowed Flint coming all the way back, allowed Moore to make that run forward. Flint super composed on the ball, sent it forward, and got Moore her first ever Sun goal, which we could not be happier about.
Yes, that was great, honestly. And then we kept it going, honestly. Right after that, going into 45th plus one, Parker had a great header that was just outside, and then
halftime ends. It starts, yep. And then it ends.
It did, yes. I know how things go, the order of stuff.
You experience time linearly, right?
Yep. Yeah, just like everybody else.
Sure.
Yeah. Brooklyn does come out a little more aggressive in the second half. Orcus honestly does great for most of this. When the one goal was so late, right? It wasn't that.
Yeah, it was 58th minute. Yeah.
It wasn't even Orcus really getting caught out. It was just people not covering people. Orcus really made great saves the whole night. She was really on it.
Yeah. She. This was one of the better games she's had in a while, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I feel like she looked more confident on the ball too.
Yeah. I mean, last week she had to come in probably, we talked about it, she probably came in not really expecting to have to come in. Oh, 2 weeks ago. What happened last week?
Dallas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, don't worry about that game. but yeah, 2 weeks ago she didn't have to come in, and the Dallas away trip is always a tough one. But yeah, she looks super confident all night, I think, making the diving saves. The early one was a huge confidence booster. Anytime she had to go low for a ball, she's great at that, gobbling it up. So the Brooklyn goal.
Yeah, I'd say it's arguably like our one huge tactical error that we made. And it was just too many people rushing at somebody else and left another player wide open to receive a pass. And then Pluck shot it right in.
Yeah. And it was a hell of a shot by Pluck too.
Yeah. Happens.
I think it's.
I made a joke. She didn't post-it stamp it. She address labeled it. Yeah. Because it's in the top left corner.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm sure there's an actual term for it, but I thought I was very funny in the moment.
Okay, we're rolling with it. It's canon now.
Thank you.
Yeah, that I think the problem there was Mackenzie George is a good player. She had the ball dribbling into a pretty dangerous spot. Haugen on the left was, I thought, doing really well to contain her. I don't think there was a single moment out of that whole game I was mad about something Haugen was doing, which as a new player, you got to feel good about. But I think the problem there was, you got to think, outsider's perspective, a defensive miscue with a new player has to come down to like a lack of communication, I think. Mm-hmm. Because I think she had her, but then, and I don't remember who it was, but two other Sun players collapsed right onto Mackenzie George. Even though she was pretty well contained, maybe one goes and that's okay to help apply the double with Dory.
Yeah.
But I don't think you need two, because one of those two probably should have been covering Mackenzie Pluck up around the top of the box. It's like I said, foreshadowing. When a player hits a banger in like the 18th minute or earlier, you got to have a feeling she's looking to do it again later in the game. You can't leave her open like that.
Yeah, she was hungry from minute one.
Yeah, it's a defensive miscue for a good team. They're going to capitalize on the one mistake our defense makes. And if they're only making one mistake a game like that, we're going to do pretty good against everybody else we play.
Oh, and it just occurred to me when we was looking at it. We were saying that we were a soft team. Yeah. We were much more aggressive in this match. I liked it. I was a fan. Yeah, even though we got a couple of cards, most of the actual cards were warranted. It was the lack of cards we had a problem with.
Yeah. We lead the league in yellow cards.
Yes! So
I know what?
Hell yeah. Yes. Hell yeah. I won an award at the end of the season.
Still no red cards in the whole league, mind you.
So we're still not a legitimate league. Okay.
No, not yet. A couple of bangers, some class jerseys, some world caliber players. No red cards. Get it together, guys. Somebody hit somebody. I think it's going to be like Spokane versus Lexington is going to be the red card. I swear to God, it's got to be some game like that.
Because you think it's going to be that one player.
Yeah.
Naeon Shin?
Yeah. No, she's sound. She doesn't.
No, shoot.
No, yeah, for Lexington. Yeah, it probably will be her, honestly.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew who I was talking about.
It'll be her, or it'll be, like Shania Gordon or something. Somebody who lets the game get into their head too much. Shout out Shania. You're my girl.
Oh, my God.
I don't care that she's Gordon. 20.
I mean, it arguably, I feel like, I don't know what's worse, a 0% average or like a 2% average. So.
Yeah, it almost seems more insulting to be like, yeah, I scored once on 30 shots. Great job.
Yeah.
I would hope so. Wow. We really do have to do like once per show, 1 minute of screw you, Shana. We give her a little bit of real estate. 1 minute a week, okay?
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
So there is the kind of that thing going around the team of, like, not wanting to be soft, not wanting to get dictated to, and I don't know if I buy it. If it's just something they're saying to themselves to be meaner, to be more aggressive, absolutely, why not? Let's go for it. But I don't particularly see it. We foul pretty often. We get a lot of yellow cards. We get fouled a lot. And I don't know if that's kind of a reaction to how often we are fouled. And, you know, it's a chain thing. We get fouled so much because we've got such good dribblers. Not because we're letting people foul us and not sticking up for ourselves or something.
Yeah.
But I
still feel like we were less aggressive on the ball than other teams.
Yeah.
And I feel like I definitely saw like a switch over in this match, and I liked it a lot. And I don't know if it was an attitude change. I don't know if it was the lineup change or what. But whatever it is, I'm a fan of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I mean, in all facets, it was a really good game. I mean,
yeah,
we're ending up at this point looking like a bunch of draw merchants. But this one felt better than the last one, that's for sure.
Yes, yeah, much better. Much better. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's something about drawing with the league leader feels better than drawing with the league seconder.
Right. It's an important distinction. It's a matter of a couple points, really, but it really does matter.
Yeah.
Especially because I think the last team that had scored on Brooklyn, not counting Napoli, was us way back like a couple months ago. So we may not have the points to show for it.
Just full circle now.
Yeah, we kind of got them. If we end up as like the four seed drawing them in the playoffs, if that's how things work out, and again, it's really close. We could move up all the way to second real easily. But if we end up in there having to face Brooklyn in the playoffs, I think we'd have a better chance against them than a lot of other teams would.
Yeah. I have to say, we had something figured out for Brooklyn for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even the if you go back and if you're watching the match on Peacock, even the commentators were saying that this really felt like a pre-playoff match almost.
Yeah, and I inshallah will be, you know, we'll be in the playoffs and this could be in the cards, because we still do just sit just outside in the five spot. But when we do get into the playoffs, when we get down to that, we're gonna be looking a lot better, because we're gonna have Flu. We're going to have Hawk's daughter back.
I hate to say that we're like a week off, but like if we had played how we played against Fort Lauderdale at Dallas, and if we had played at Dallas, how we had, you know, at Brooklyn. And then if we played now in Brooklyn, we're like a week off.
Yeah.
It's fun. When are we going to catch up?
Hey, that's what this week is for. Catching up. Yes. You know, we have a non-league game finally to recalibrate, hopefully. And then, oh my gosh, how does that work out? Our next league game, I was just checking because I had to be sure. Our next league game after Gotham is away to Fort Lauderdale. So we're right back to it.
All right, so we got way off from the game. There was a couple more things I actually wanted to cover. We made some subs that were really cool. We put Tankersley in for Parker, Zayd in for Haugen, and Domi in for Jade, which was a surprising one that I didn't quite see coming, but I was such a fan. She was great, honestly.
Yeah, I really like seeing her in it.
I hate to focus on her and say, like, specifically she was great, but it's only because we have not seen her play very much.
For months, literally.
Yes. Oh, this was Tankersley's pro debut?
This
was Tankersley's pro debut. I forget the order of when things were signed and games were played.
She was last week signing. We signed at a rate about one player a week, seems like.
Yeah.
So it was Ava last week. Yeah, she came in. Good to get her some minutes. Good to get her pro debut.
And this was at the 66th minute, so they had like a solid 30 minutes left of play.
Yeah, and 66 is a good run out for everybody who was out there. So good on Tankersley to make her debut. She did look like a player making her professional debut.
Yeah.
Which. You can't, you know, nobody's going to write you off immediately, just, you know, because you look like a rookie when you are one. That's what happened. You get called up. Now you're working with pro coaches. I got a lot of faith in our staff, working with Tankersley, working with Jordan Zayd. We brought them in for a reason. We know what they're good at, and we know how to make them better. So she kind of looked a little lost out there. I would agree, but I wouldn't think that's going to be a theme for her going forward. I think she'll be with us for a while. Jordan Zayd, of course, came in, did her flip throw a couple times. The crowd went crazy. It's always so cool.
Yeah. Shout out to Andres Isaka. Mm-hmm. I forgot his last name all of a sudden. But if you go to the Sun photos, you go to the tagged photos. He has gotten some phenomenal shots, and there's a shot of Zayde doing her flip throw, and she's basically in a back bend. He managed to catch it like mid. It's amazing. It's a phenomenal photo. Definitely go check it out on Instagram.
She's floating like 4 inches off the ground and in a full wild bridge.
Yeah.
The ability to do a flip throw was insane. Have you tried it, Liz? Have you ever like gone outside and tried to do this?
I had shoulder surgery like 6 months ago. No. Right. No. I had my second shoulder surgery 6 months ago.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. I challenge anyone listening right now. Look, go out there, not even with a ball first. Just go out there.
Do I want to try it though? Yeah. So badly. You have no idea. So badly.
Since I have tried it with a ball, without a ball, I don't know how she doesn't just. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about them, how you do the moment.
And you don't slip when you like have the ball down on the ground. I none of it registers to me.
Yeah.
And she just does it so smoothly. It's never a concern of like, oh, I hope she nails this one, or I hope this one comes off smoothly. Because they all come off smoothly.
Go like 30 feet.
Yeah, it changes the way you play because you get a free kick, essentially.
Yeah, it really is. It is. It's a free kick anywhere on the sidelines that there's enough space.
Yeah, really. So yeah, love to see it. If she can start doing more with her game going forward, she's going to be like a real problem for everybody in the league, I think. Big fan
for
of
sure. And even if she's still coming in as like a 66th minute sub or a 70th minute sub, for sure. We love having those fresh legs and that energy to take out some tired players.
She's just got aura too. You just notice her on the field. You know? It's the hair. She's got really great hair.
would you know, Tom?
Hey, yeah, right. We run in a lot of the same circles. We're on the same message boards.
Yeah. I also wanted to mention Orcus made a great save, just completely taking out a Brooklyn player. It was beautiful. I loved it. I really like us taking out players. It's great. It's the derby in me. I miss it.
Derby, yeah.
I just want to go out and hip check someone. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We got to be tough.
Yeah. And you can tell we're getting a little bit tired towards the end, which completely understandable. Brooklyn gets a bicycle kick that gets way too close for comfort, which I believe goes wide. Thank God. Domi gets a yellow like right at the end. And she just to end Brooklyn's run of play, which I love. Fantastic. Thank you for helping us make sure that we keep that 1-1 draw.
Yeah, making the most of her time on the field right there.
Yes, I love it, honestly. And I feel bad that I'm like harping on it, but it's just because we don't get to see her.
Yeah.
I love that we're getting to see these players. I hope that we get to, we have a little more fluidity maybe in the lineup that we can be like, oh, you know, we can swap out this player for this player because it's, you know, they're equal caliber and they both know the spot really well.
Yeah, it's good to know.
I'd like to have a nice, deep lineup like that.
Yeah, the depth on this team is huge all of a sudden. Like, it was a concern earlier in the year.
Yeah, no, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, and now we got everybody, and it's good to see that after so long of not seeing game minutes, she comes in and not only plays well, but represents herself well and plays, like, her game. She doesn't try to do anything different or weird. She went out there and played Domi ball and it looked great.
Yeah, honestly. Yes, it was Domi ball. I love it. there was also right at the end, Carly had like 6 touches and just walks the ball around a Brooklyn player, and it's just really fun to watch. And it was a good summation of the whole night for Carly, which was you could tell that Brooklyn was like, oh, we got to take her out. She cannot get the ball, which is true because she is a huge, like, I can't think of the word, like transfer through the midfield to get the ball up to goal for sure.
Yeah. I'm not using that word right. Three, four, one, two. She was the one to look to make that connection to get the ball upfield. So they really wanted to lock her down. You see it?
Yeah, so not to say that Giamona didn't have, like, a great match. She always does. I have no complaints. But you could tell that Brooklyn really locked onto her, and she couldn't be as effective as she normally was. Right. But it also looks like we filled in and made up for that when we realized that.
Yeah, the midfield and the attack got a little more creative and swapped up. You know, if the connector, Giamona, is getting marked up whenever she gets the ball, why don't we just do something a little bit different? We drop the striker back, we bring the midfielder up, and all of a sudden we've bypassed their pressure. And that's exactly how we got their goal. You know, sometimes you get one of your most impactful players locked down and a bad team, that's game over. For a good team, you find ways to work around it because you've got other players.
Pretty soccer, baby. Yes. she said it was coming. She said she had it. She had a plan. We had to believe her.
I love it. It's pretty. Yeah.
Yes.
I can't wait to play pretty on Sunday.
Yes. Before Sunday though, we had a signing. As we do, we sign one a week.
We sign players. It's what we do.
Yeah, it's all we do apparently.
We sign players and we draw games. Tampa Bay Sun, let's go.
Yeah.
Yes, we did, Liz. We signed. And it's a good signing. I like her. I've known about her since before she was with us. The circumstances of her signing, not necessarily the most joyous, because she is a goalkeeper. And anybody who is a fan of the team, and if you're listening to us for this long, you probably are, you would know why we all of a sudden need a goalkeeper. So she's in here covering for the newly re-injured Kayla Marchese.
I don't know that she's publicly said anything yet, but she must be out for an indefinite amount of time, which is why we were like, hey, we got to pick up somebody else to have that backup.
Yeah, we can't speak to like what the injury may be or the severity of it, but not good to go down with a non-contact injury like that, like she did. Regardless, Sydney Schneider. We got our second Sydney. Let's go. We got two Brooks. We got two Ashleys. We got two Sydneys.
Oh my God. We like
to sign pairs.
I didn't even realize we signed another Sydney.
Yeah. We have Sydney between the pipes. We'll have Sydney on the wing. It's going to be great. So let me tell you a little bit about the young Miss Sydney Schneider. She is a goalkeeper, 25 years old, so a veteran of the game, not necessarily young, not a Pankersley or a Zaid, not fresh out of college. She is a native of New Jersey, South Brunswick. Very interesting. We signed her right in between playing two New York, New Jersey teams. So she started her career with the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, kind of a mid-major, the Seahawks up there. She was the first freshman to play every minute of every game as a goalie for them, only the second goalie to ever do that for them. 2019, her junior year, she was the conference goalie of the year. She played 44 matches for them, availed herself very well for them. And then drafted right out of UNCW to the Washington Spirit back when the draft was still a thing in 2021.
Way back in the olden times.
Yeah, the olden times. So it's not a huge program, not a huge athletics department in UNCW. So to get those eyes on you from an NWSL team to get drafted, it tells you right there already there's something that somebody saw way back when. In ye olden times of 2021. So she was with the Spirit. She was with the Current in 2022. She was the backup of both. Didn't end up making any league appearances. But it's something you kind of see lately with some Super League players who you know, it's not that they're not good enough to be in the NWSL, but there's just simply not enough roster spots in professional women's soccer. And that's the whole Super League. So she spent her season in Washington, spent her season in Kansas City, and then she made a move overseas to Sparta Prague. This was a really good move for her, I would say. She played 15 league matches, played two Champions League matches against Eintracht Frankfurt, and looked good at both. So she's also been, and this is interesting, she's got a really fun background. She is a national team player for Jamaica, and that's because she's got like a German dad, a Jamaican mom. She's got a Greek stepfather. She's from everywhere, basically. So that in between season between Sparta and us, she also played for Chicago in the NWSL. Again, as a backup, didn't end up making the league appearances, but to be that known in the NWSL as a goalie, there's fewer roster spots for a goalie. Believe it or not, have you guys watched soccer? Do you know how many players on the field, how many goalies there are? There's only one goalie allowed to play at any time per team. So there's not a lot of roster spots for the goalie.
Why? That's crazy.
Yeah. There's some rule about it gets unfair if you've got two goalies or something. Yeah. So she's a known quantity of the NWSL. It's a really good pickup for us, I think. When we say she's a Jamaican national team player, we mean that she was just playing for them last June against Brazil. So the Jamaica coaches like her. The NWSL circle coaches like her. I don't know if she's going to come in and immediately start getting minutes over Orcus, or if Orcus has got it for now. Maybe we use this Sunday game against Gotham to kind of split the difference and see how everybody looks.
I would not be surprised if we swapped our keeper since it's a friendly. Even Gotham swapped their keeper in this match.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, because they're still in their preseason and we're not.
Yeah, so I would not be surprised if Kellett makes an appearance or or Sydney does.
Yeah, I'd like to see us come out of this and we're kind of transitioning already. Welcome to the team, Sydney Schneider.
Yes.
I would like us to go into this Gotham game with a strong lineup to start, and then
wait, Tom,
what
did you know we're playing Gotham, New York, New Jersey, Gotham?
I'm being so
this
casual.
Sunday at 6 so p.m.
6 p.m.
6 p.m. not 7 because it's a Sunday. So make sure you're there.
Yeah,
get your tickets now because if you haven't gotten them, you're lame and you need to get them.
Don't be square.
Don't be square.
And every ticket also enters you to win a bicycle.
It does. So
it does.
Yeah. Which I'm not unconvinced was because they were sick of like the same five people winning stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not us. That's the team, right? Yeah. The first ever NWSL match for us. Not for Super League.
No, because Fluted had to be the first, but it's fine. They lost.
To be fair, DC Power played a friendly closed door against Washington Spirit.
Shush your face hole.
It wasn't Fort Lauderdale, okay? I don't want them to have that honor.
Yeah, well, you know what? Fort Lauderdale sucks.
Nice. Well said, Liz. That's why you have a podcast dedicated to talking about soccer. That kind of tacit and poignant insight right there.
Thank you.
You know,
I am a journalist.
All right, cool. I know you didn't graduate from the FAU journalism school, okay?
No, I did not. No, it was the College of Business. Doesn't even have a fancy title.
Fake degree.
Yeah. I mean, I paid for it.
Yeah, that's real. Yeah.
Yep. Hey. The debt is real.
That joke was real. So we are making history, though, for us.
Yes.
As a club, as a city, the first time an NWSL team. Orlando never came over here, right? They never gave us a game.
No, and I don't think they've ever gone south of where they are to good. Play a match okay. other than like when they played at like the City B thing.
Oh, Kissimmee or some crap.
Yeah.
So, first NWSL team to come to Tampa. First time Sun FC plays an NWSL team. You know what the third history thing is going to be? What it's going to be? First time a Super League
when
team.
We beat them.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I hope we do.
Honestly, I mean, if Fort Lauderdale can score one goal, I think we can score two.
Yeah, Liz, what was the score of the Fort Lauderdale-Gotham game?
2-1.
2-1, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that 2-1. Was...
2-1, not that you would know if you were following Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, because they refuse to post final
They refuse
four.
To post their socials when they're losing. Yeah. Just own it, man. Just own it.
Coward's way out.
Yeah.
You guys get points more often than you don't. Just
yeah.
be a normal team, please. yeah, so they did just play Fort Lauderdale Wednesday night. Don't know when you're listening to this, but Wednesday, February 26th, that would be. Yes. Goal scored for Gotham by Esther Gonzalez and by Jalen Howell, the great Jalen Howell. We all know her, that name for sure. She's a national team player. Pretty cool. We don't know who scored Fort Lauderdale's goal because, again, they're not very good at communicating.
No, they don't like telling us things.
Yeah. So, Liz, you know the NWSL, don't you? You've been following women's soccer.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about Gotham.
They're really good. They've got two championships under their belt, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. They play some good soccer.
They do.
They kick that ball so good, like.
Wow, you're that business degree is paying off right now.
Right.
Yo, so Gotham do be kicking
balls.
Yeah,
so Gotham is the, if you're an old head, it's the remnants of Sky Blue FC, which is why their supporters group is called Cloud Nine, which I'm not going to lie, I think is possibly one of the most creative names ever. I love it.
Top two and not one.
yes, it's fair. Gotham has, they basically came out as a powerhouse. I feel like when they rebranded and became Gotham too, they've just been on a tear since they started. So having them come, it really feels like it's legitimizing us. I don't know. I know that at this point we don't need legitimizing, but we still kind of do, but I don't know. It's cool. I like it that we're getting this kind of, exposure. I wish it was on some kind of streaming.
Yeah, really. Wish the Fort Lauderdale game would have been available to watch as well, but
yeah, like what you can't you just hook up the camera. You just point it.
You can do it anywhere,
you
guys.
Press the button.
YouTube,
yeah.
Facebook, MySpace, TikTok.
BRB while I bring my second phone to just stream it. Stream the game.
Periscope.
What if I put it on like a tripod though?
Yeah, honestly. Think about it. That would be cool. Liz, you know what else is cool? We had an interview again.
We did!
Yeah.
We did. You should stay tuned. Because coming up, we have an interview with Jade Moore! So stay tuned for more.
Oh my god. Oh Lord.
Hi, and welcome back to RVLR Sun. We have that promised interview with Jade Moore. And joining me today on this interview, we have, other side. We have James Knowles. He is our main writer, and he also covers the RVLR Rowdies podcast. So make sure that you check that out whenever you get a chance. That season will be starting soon. But we have Jade Moore in the house, and that's way more exciting. Jade, mm-hmm. How are you doing today?
Hi guys, thanks for having me. I'm very well. I'm a little bit tired. We've had a busy schedule this week. But other than that, I'm doing very well, thank you. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, do you have is there an important game coming up or something like that? I heard.
Which one? The Sunday game or the next 15 league games that I think we've got to play?
Yes, all of them. That's true. So how are you feeling going into this very exciting historic match against Gotham coming off a 5-game unbeaten streak at home?
Yeah, excited. Obviously, I think I've spoke before and just said it's really nice to obviously go up against the best players in the world. And obviously, Gotham have a really strong roster. For us, it's in a difficult spot in our season. Obviously, these games aren't always necessary, but I think for a fan perspective, I think it's really good to obviously get the community involved, and it's also a really nice opportunity to play one of the best teams in the world.
Yeah, no, I can tell you from a fan perspective, a lot of people are very excited for this, and I was pretty much losing my mind when I heard the announcement. I was like, no way, they're coming, Gotham's coming here, they're gonna play us, we're gonna play them, that's crazy. So I have to say, a lot of people were very excited about it. I hope the team was too, because I think it's really cool just to have this meshing of the two leagues and really come together, show that we are not necessarily competing. We are just providing opportunities for everyone.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's always one of the strong points, I think, of women's football. We like to kind of bend the rules and try to change the projection of what we can do. And sport's obviously a really nice platform to be able to do that. So I think to be able to have two professional leagues running out of the same country right now, and then to obviously try and merge the two this early on is a nice kind of view into what the future of these two leagues could look like.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking as someone who's played in a lot of leagues, a lot of very prestigious leagues and teams, how do you feel about the projection of the Super League as comparative to these other leagues that you've played in?
Yeah, I think obviously I was fortunate enough to be at the start of what the FAWSL was back in the day, and I think it started in 2010. And I was involved in that for, I think, the best part of the first 10 years. So I've seen the growth of the game. I've seen what happened. I've seen obviously where it started and then where it obviously got to. And if people was to sit and talk about the FAWSL now, I think they would probably say it's the best league in the world. So you've got to obviously understand that there's always a sort of journey that the leagues have to go on. And I think right now, to be a part of this one, it's nice to see that. I think the growth will be much shorter in duration. I don't think it'll take 10 to 12 years for this league to obviously potentially take off with what obviously it's got to offer. So that's a really nice projection to see.
Yeah, you can definitely tell that the FAWSL and the NWSL have done a lot of work to make it so that the Super League could do this just great sprint to like the halfway point or the quarter point, what may have taken 5 or 6 years before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
James, did you want to come in with something? I'm sorry.
Sure. Yeah, I can jump in. Well, I just had a question related to how you ultimately first joined the Sun. I think that you have obviously a very, as Liz has already alluded to, you have a very prestigious background and probably one of the biggest names signed to head up the Super League when it started here in the USL side of things. So I just wanted to know, I guess, how you originally were first contacted by the Sun, how that process came about, and then what intrigued you about this project specifically to get started here, as opposed to going anywhere else with the next step in your career?
Yeah, it was actually a really random story. I think it was around this time last year that I changed agencies, and my agent got in touch and was just like, so what do you want to do for next season? Are you happy where you're at? And I was happy where I was at, but I was like, I'm always looking for options. I'm always looking for new challenges. And at that point, she was like, oh, there's a new league coming out in America. What do you think about that? And I was like, just go see what it has on offer. Like, see what happens. And then within, I think, I don't even want to say it was a day. I think it was within the same day. I think my agent, Kez, was like, oh, Tampa have got a new team that's coming. They seem to be the one that are getting things sorted pretty sharpish. The manager wants to speak to you. And I was like, okay, yeah, like what, when, like next week? And she was like, no, today. So obviously you guys have met Denise. So she obviously picked the phone up. And I remember I was actually car shopping with my dad at the time. And I remember thinking, well, maybe I might not need a new car at this rate. I'm going to be somewhere else. So I had a conversation with Denise and that kind of went really well. They'd done a little bit of homework on me and they was just like, it's something that I think you'd really enjoy. It's a new league. It's a new, like, starting a whole new culture. And that was something that kind of like pricked my ears up a little bit, to obviously being involved in something that was so fresh and so new from the get-go that you could obviously try and help direct. And that seemed like a nice new, fresh challenge, something that obviously I'd not really been a part of. A lot of teams in England have always got a foundation already. Mm-hmm. So that was something that was exciting. That was something that kind of, I was like, that's different. That's something new. And then obviously I kind of had a little look into Tampa. I'd lived in Orlando before. So obviously knew a lot about Florida as a state. And that was, again, intriguing because obviously the weather in England at this time is pretty terrible. So yeah, that was pretty much it really. So I had all of these options that was kind of put in front of me. And then it was about making, I guess, the right choice for me at the sort of journey that I'm at coming to the end of my career. And I thought, if I'm going to bow out of the game at some point, what better place to bow out than in the sun?
That's fair. Yeah. That's a very good response.
Oh, that's such a good quote. I love it.
Well, with that in mind, I do have one quick question related to the weather here, because you said, obviously, the weather in England at this moment probably is not the best, and I can understand that. But I'm assuming that you did not expect there to be two hurricanes within your first couple of months. So could you walk me through the process of, you know, coming from where you are? Obviously, there's not a lot of, I assume, not a lot of experience with that. But what was it like for you to take that in and then try and handle the movement of literally going from one place to another to avoid where the storm is most likely to hit and everything that you guys had to do to stay fit during that time, too?
Yeah, it was. It was definitely a crazy time because me and Tash had come in, I don't know, I think it was maybe 10 days before we was obviously getting the evacuation sort of messages. And at that point, I was just like, I'm just going to go home again. I just went home. I just booked a flight and left, which was really nice. Obviously, I think I'd been over here for a couple of weeks and then I got a chance to go home again. So it was almost like, when I obviously was leaving, it was like, I'm not going to see everyone for 6 months. So, you know, said my goodbyes and then I managed to be back there in 2 weeks. So it was like nothing had actually changed for me. So I kind of dodged the hurricane on a whole new level. I just went back home. So it was like it never really happened for me. But that was crazy because obviously when I was at home, all the news outlets was obviously showing everywhere in Tampa. And I was like, oh, that's where I live, because a lot of the news reports were coming from Ebor. And I was like, that's my street. So that was kind of surreal. I think a lot of the things when you obviously grow up and watch films and movies and things, and it's, you know, a lot of them are based on huge natural disasters. So yeah, it's like, let's not mess around with these things. And I think once the football club are like, okay, get out now, especially people in Tampa, because a lot of people had said to me about Tampa, oh, nothing terrible happens here. Nothing's happened in 50 years. So then when it was like, no, it's happening, get out, then it was a bit like, okay, I'm not risking it.
Yeah, I think that I was probably one of those people that was like, yeah, Tampa never gets hit. And, you know, we have seen how that turns out, of course. So I understand that getting to England is probably a little bit better of an option in that moment. Liz, I will turn it back over to you.
Sure. So just going off of that, then, what have you enjoyed the most about the Tampa Bay area? And obviously, why is it so much better than Orlando?
I see loads of people said that to me. They was like, oh, you'll enjoy Tampa so much more than Orlando. Obviously, I enjoyed Orlando. I thought where I lived was a very nice area. I loved the lakes. I loved the fact that you could go out and walk most places. They're quite like nice like trails to go out. That's something that I'm missing here at the minute. So if you know anything, let me know. Anyone that's listening, good walking places. And obviously, it's a city here, so I think it has a completely different vibe. But I really like being so close to the beach here. I think that's one of the biggest perks. And obviously, there's so many beaches as well. So I'm kind of ticking them off as we speak at the minute.
Yeah. What's your favorite so far?
I've been down to Treasure Island.
Okay.
Down there, and I think, have you seen where all the shells are? Like, that seems to be my favorite beach at the minute. I can't remember what it's called. Is it called Honeymoon?
Honeymoon right Island, yeah.
Honeymoon Island, that's a pretty cool place. I'm pretty quiet, so I've enjoyed going there recently. But I've heard that Siesta Keys is meant to be the number one beach of Florida, so that's on the hit list.
All right, yes, you'll have to report back and let us know how it is.
Yeah, I will do. I definitely will do. But other than that, I love the trolley system. I actually really enjoy being so close to Ebor. I think that's a really cool place. And then everything's pretty easy. The only thing that you need anywhere in America is a car. So if you can't drive or you haven't got a car, then that's a nightmare. But it's a pretty cool place to live right now.
Yeah, and we're so lucky to have you, lucky and happy to have you here for sure. You had a lot of places to play, and we are very grateful that you chose our little league and our little team. Because I have to say, as a fan, fan first, I was so excited when they announced this team. I was actually at my friend's wedding for the day of the brand announcement and everything, but I was literally like in line with the other bridesmaids on my phone, being like, "Have they announced it yet?" So I from the bottom of my heart, honestly, I am so happy and so grateful for this team and having you, having incredibly decorated players like you here to help us not only, I don't want to say legitimize the league, but really show that we're here and we're here to stay. We're here to establish something and really make something.
Well, thank you. Yeah, hopefully there'll be many more established players. I've probably got a lot more accolades than myself that'll join this league.
And speaking of some of the things that you've done, I know the cardiac risk in youth is a cause that's very near and dear to you. I don't know that we've touched on it a ton while you've been over here in the States. Did you want to talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I always like to use my platform to talk about that. Don't know how much you know about the past, but I got diagnosed with two holes in my heart when I was around 17. I was actually telling one of the teammates about that last night, actually. And that was just picked up. They were like, what was your symptoms? And I said, I didn't have no symptoms. That was obviously the biggest part. There was nothing that was going on with me. There was nothing that was kind of like, something's not right. I was performing, playing well, running, exercising every single day. So nothing was obviously out of the normal. And then what happened was I had a routine cardiac screen literally about 20 minutes before I was due to go and train with the England set up at that time, and then there was like, oh no, you can't, we've seen something. And at that point I was like, what do you mean you've seen something? Like, I need to go and train, like, you don't understand what these coaches are like. If I'm, if I'm 5 minutes early, like, I'm 10 minutes late for them. And they were like, no, you can't train, we can't actually legally allow you to go out and do it now. And I was like, and at that point, obviously, we're looking many, many years ago, 2007, I think it was, when that happened. We didn't have really good resources to either deal with that or obviously try and explain what that was to look like. So at that point, I kind of got hit with a really big decision of like, well, what does this mean for football? What does this mean for me? Luckily, obviously, what I had was easily fixed. I just had to have surgery. And then within about 3 weeks, I think I was good to go again. So they just put a 15 mil device in the septum of my heart that obviously covered the holes and stopped oxygenated blood and deoxygenated blood mixing. So I was a lucky one. And obviously the screening that that CRY, Cardiac Risk in the Young, provide is what I basically had done at that time. And obviously without that screening, who knows what would have happened. Mm-hmm. So obviously the strapline usually is what I end up saying is football actually ended up saving my life, because I actually had a really enlarged heart already, and I was only a week away from being 17 at that point. So I guess if we had no screening in place, fast forward to where I am now at 34, who knows what kind of damage that would have done.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for sharing that with us. That was, I saw that you did like this huge charity match over in England, like just honestly, like right before you came here, or not right before, but a couple months before, around, was it June or July, I think?
It was in May. It was right after my season was finished. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And we will have a link, in the article in the podcast description about where you can find resources for cardiac risk in youth.
Wonderful.
Turning it back to James.
Yeah, well, I had a couple more questions, and I don't know if we can get to all of them, but I do want to ask you, because you have mentioned that, you know, you came in and you are one of the players that I think a lot of people on this team would have looked up to, because you have played in World Cups at this point, and you have played at such a high level. So I know that the Academy players had a little bit more playing time to start the season, especially due to people not being able to play at that moment. But I wanted to ask you what it's like to have these Academy players around. And I guess with the young people being there, are you a type of role model for the team? Are you one of the leaders out there during training?
I'd like to say yes. I think once you get to a certain age in football, you tend to just try and lead by example with whatever you choose to do and however that looks for you as an individual. And I tend to be quite vocal. I tend to be quite loud. And I think obviously the position that I play, you have to be like that. It kind of comes with age. But when I was a little bit younger, I used to just more lead by doing. Like, you know, if you was to watch me, you'd just be like, oh, she's just 100% committed. Whereas now I try to lead by also doing, but also trying to communicate and help and bring people along. I think because with football, if you don't speak, you kind of, have you ever gone to a football match where no one's speaking? It's one, it's terrible to watch. And two, you're like, what's going on? Like, how are these 11 people actually trying to organize things? So I think as you get older, you kind of understand how important it is to actually communicate and communicate effectively. And it's also really nice to test yourself in different environments because obviously everyone's different. So you like your communication style has to change. I can get away with being probably a little bit harsher in England because people know me more. So they probably know it's coming from a bit more of a nicer place. Whereas when you come somewhere new, you kind of got to get a nice level of trust from players. So that tends to have to come back from how you are off the pitch with them, building relationships and creating connections that way. But as for the kids, I think hopefully they look at me and think that's kind of what it looks like to be a leader. And that's also something that they'd like to try and emulate moving forward in their career. But I think it's really important for the kids to be involved in what pro football looks like and also see what pro athletes that have been in the game for a long time, how they manage their day and what they obviously kind of train like and conduct themselves. Because I think that's the biggest thing, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would say that it's extremely helpful if your goal, of course, is to be a professional player, then you can actually get a bit of an idea of what it takes, what it's like, and what you have to do, like you said, every day. So that does make a lot of sense. My next question is a little bit more related to the upcoming game with Gotham. I know that this is a team that's in a league that is, like Liz said, not necessarily a competitor, but it is on the same quote unquote level with at least the Division I sanctioning. So I wanted to ask you going into this, how much of a measuring stick, I guess, is this game for the team to come out of this and see exactly how you guys match up with someone or with a group that is considered to be at the top of the game?
Yeah, definitely. I think, as I said earlier, like it's always nice to go and compete against some of the best. I think it's nice to obviously see where we're at as a outfit, then as a team, and then as individuals, as players, because I think you can only kind of test yourself when you're playing the same teams in the league. You kind of just test yourself against where you are in that division. So then to obviously have teams come in, you can obviously test yourself against a completely different outfit and see where you obviously fare within that. So that will definitely be something that will be an outcome of the game. I think we'll look at it and go, right, okay, we've either got a lot to go or we're not too far off. And then you're always trying to push the gaps. But obviously for us, our main focus is always going to be the league and what we're competing in week in, week out. And that has to be our main focus because that's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to get paid to do. Obviously, this game on Sunday is going to be a really nice showcase and event for obviously the fans and obviously getting a team like Gotham down. And that will obviously try and enjoy the moment more than anything. But obviously, it'll be a nice game, I guess, like you say, just to see where the levels are at. And actually then see how far we've got to go to obviously get Tampa to be an outfit like Gotham. I don't think we're that far off, in my opinion.
Gotcha. Well, I assume that you would be the right person to ask for that. So I'm going to take your word there on that and hope that we ultimately have a very good showing against this team, because I do think that, first of all, I do think that we can. The team does appear to be getting better from everything that I've that I've seen, but you know, I'm hardly an expert here. My last question before I turn it back over to Liz is just the Tampa Bay Sun right now are one position outside of the playoff spots. And at the moment, there are only four because of course there are eight teams in total. What will it take to get the Sun into those playoff spots so that they can compete in the postseason?
Wins, points on the board. As simple as that is, obviously, the league table never lies. So right now, we're, as you said, a point out of it. But from fifth to second, that's the only point, right? Is that right?
Yeah, very, very close. So yes.
Really, really close. So obviously, we need to get the points on the board. And we need to be consistent with that. Like you said, we've not lost a game in five, was it? Mm-hmm. Which for us is a really nice stat. But actually, we haven't won a game either. I think of, well, one. I'm trying to wrap my brains now going back to the five.
The last one we won was against Spokane at home, right?
The last game before the break.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right.
So we've picked up single points as we've turned the new year. And that's obviously we need to turn them singles into threes. And then we'll be in a really good place. Obviously, you know, we're in a nice place of not losing games, but consistency is always key. We need to stop conceding goals. Because obviously defense is what wins championships. And right now, we're not really looking too far ahead in the future. We're just trying to obviously take each game as it comes. And with that, hopefully the performances continue to rise as well. You know, we want to play good football, good style of play. But also, we want to be successful with obviously winning games too.
Naturally.
Speaking of scoring goals then, and I have to ask this because it was requested by a friend. What is your favorite goal you've ever scored and why was it the one that you just scored against Brooklyn?
That was a nice goal, actually. I actually enjoyed the goal. I don't score many goals. I'm actually not sure how many goals I've got in my overall career, but I enjoyed the goal against Brooklyn because I actually ended up being like a nine. Me and Tash had actually switched roles for a minute.
Oh, it was a thing of beauty to watch, honestly. And I cover this in the podcast that'll come out later. But you guys switched like seamlessly and to the point where like Tash, she checked someone to get the ball, passed it up to you. By the time you scored, if you go back and watch the replay, the player she checked is still getting up when you've already scored. it was just so funny and so much fun to watch.
Yeah, it was nice for Tash to do some defending for once, so I don't have to do it all. But yeah, it was a nice goal. It was a nice link. I think actually Tash comes, doubles up on the defender, wins the ball. It goes back to Jordan. Jordan plays me in the nine position, which is obviously, I shouldn't be there. I don't even know why I am there. But yeah, we just swap roles. And I think it's nice, obviously, when you've got a friendship off the pitch, then obviously for it to combine on the pitch, that always makes it a little bit more special as well. So. And when it was coming, when the ball, obviously the ball was really well weighted, that's why I didn't have to touch it. But there was a moment where it was coming and I was thinking, this ball needs to hurry up because I need it to get in front of me a little bit quicker because I could feel the defender coming. But luckily for me, obviously, it was a perfectly weighted ball. And I actually stuck it in the back of the net for once.
Yes. And like I said, it was a thing of beauty to watch, honestly. I had a lot of fun rewatching that game.
Thanks,
okay. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us. I very much appreciate it. This was such a lovely time talking to you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Welcome back. And if you'd like more for your money, you should come check out the shop.rblrsports.com. Use promo code HEATWAVE for 10% off. HEATWAVE. I can totally spell.
Liz, did you get out of your system or do you have any more puns? No.
I think that's it.
Okay. All right. Good. Good. All right.
I didn't go to college for spelling. That's right. I didn't. That's what autocorrect's for.
Nobody did. So that was a really good interview. Again, I couldn't be there because I have a job that doesn't let me have fun. Yeah. But I'm glad you were there for it.
Yes, that was great. And thank you again to Jade Moore for giving us some of her time. We very much appreciate it. And we are supremely looking forward to cheering her and the rest of the team on at Gotham. Playing Gotham this weekend at Riverfront.
Big Jim.
Get your tickets. Get your tickets right now. Pause the podcast. I'm giving you permission to pause the podcast to go buy tickets right now. Right this second.
You don't need her permission. You can pause anytime you want to.
Yeah, but now you have it.
All right, and now that we're back from you buying your tickets, welcome back.
Now that you've bought tickets.
Yes. Liz, you want to talk about the rest of the league real quick? Now that those losers have caught up to us, now that they're playing games?
I guess.
Do we have to?
So four teams have 21 goals each, which is just kind of funny. Dallas, yeah. Fort Lauderdale, Lexington, and us.
We
Brooklyn's
are
got 20, Carolina's got 19, Spokane and DC, they have a number too.
DC has as many goals as I have fingers. Not good.
As many goals as they have fans.
Oh, you didn't have to do that. You didn't need to.
I didn't, but I did.
All right. Well, over the weekend, we...
I mean, it's still nicer than Lexington. Remember Lexington Reading Club or whatever, study club?
Their own fans are eating there. Yeah.
Yeah. Lexington, if you're from Lexington and you're listening to this podcast, you need to go to your subreddit, R Lexington, and get your people in check because they're roasting you in the comments.
I mean, you need to go to your stadium if you're from Lexington.
Yeah, that too. Please go to your local soccer stadium and buy a ticket.
Even if it's just a read.
Mm-hmm. So we still have no red cards, but we lead in fouls and yellows, as we said previously.
We're gonna get
and
it.
Then some other, and then some other games happened, I guess, to make up those goals. Yeah. Dallas played Spokane, ended 0-1 to Spokane. A little bit surprised by that, quite frankly.
Yep, the first surprise of two, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about this. I watched this third match. So Fort Lauderdale played Lexington. 2-0. I guess the only thing I'm surprised by is that Lexington didn't score in like the 85th.
Yeah, they didn't get their late Lexington goal off of a corner or something. Addie McCain scored in that goal. She extends her lead in the Golden Boot race. I'm still convinced Jamona's going to catch her. I don't care.
And then DC went to go visit Carolina. Mm-hmm. And that game was wild from start to finish. The USL Super League literally posted a screenshot of every time the score changed because this game ended 3-3.
Yeah.
Which is kind of bonkers when you think about how good Carolina was previously and how bad DC has been.
Yeah. Hey, it's the first match for DC under their interim coach, Phil Nana, previously with Maryland Bobcats, believe it or not, in NISA. Yeah. The one good NISA club. but apparently he's doing something different than what Frederick Beaunt did, and it's working.
Okay. So the way this game went, it started out with DC got a penalty in the 24th.
Yep.
Carolina returned with a goal in the 40th. We go to halftime.
That Carolina goal, we got to shout out that goal. Because it was assisted by none other than Riley Mattingly Parker.
That's right. It was assisted by our Riley Parker. We love her. We're so happy she's getting minutes and doing wonderful things on the field and not against us.
She is, if you watch that game, if you watch the highlight package even, she is a huge, huge part of what they're doing on the attacking end. She is suddenly so important to Carolina, and I love that for her.
I am heartbroken, but also happy.
Yep. Should have been us, but I'm glad she's happy.
It's fine. I have her signed poster here. It's fine. I have that to carry with me.
Yeah. So that was 1-0 DC, 1-1.
1-1. All right, we go to halftime. DC's like, nah, we coming back. 53rd minute, they get a goal. And then Carolina's like, nah, we coming back. And then Mia Corbin comes in and was like, I'ma score a goal. And then they're like, we get an own goal.
That's a weird way to finish with the own goal.
Yeah. That's not ideal. And then DC scores again, ties it up 3-3. So if I was DC, I'd be real sad about that own goal because you could have beat Carolina.
Yeah, not that it's hard at this point in the season, I guess, but would have been huge for DC. They need something, and even that a 6-goal total, 3-goal for them, kind of thriller. First game back in the spring. First game back with their interim head coach Phil Nana. It's good for them. I want them to do better than they've done. I really do.
Oh yeah. No, I love that their first game back was so spicy.
Yeah.
Let's keep absolutely. It up. I love it.
If that's the type of excitement we get out of the spring DC team, come on. I want more of it.
Absolutely. We have two other games this weekend. If you feel like watching them, I guess. Ours is clearly the most exciting one.
Yep.
Obviously. But Lexington is playing Brooklyn. Yeah. Gotta be interested to see how this happens, honestly, because Lexington will sometimes turn it on and they'll have it, and then sometimes they really, really won't. So we'll see if Brooklyn can figure that out.
And maybe we shook
them up a little bit.
Good luck, Lexington. Defend your home stadium. Come on.
Yeah. And that's on Saturday at 7 p.m. And then the next game is Carolina versus Fort Lauderdale. That'll be an interesting preview for us, as that would be the next. Oh no, we play Fort Lauderdale. We play Fort Lauderdale, and then we play Carolina, though.
Yeah, we play
them back to back right after this.
Yeah, so that's if you that's a 3:00 game on Sunday. So mm-hmm. if you live decently close to Riverfront Stadium, you can watch that whole game and still get to Big Jim on time.
Yes, and you should.
Yeah,
because you already bought your tickets.
You're signed up for the bike.
Yeah. I just realized we didn't do player of the match for this past match. So we should do that.
I did. You skimmed over it.
Did it? You didn't say who you were.
I didn't mention it. I wrote it down. You just ignored it.
Yeah.
All right. You go first.
All right. Well, my player of the match is Paige. Because I believe this was her first match playing the full 90. And there was even one point when they were doing the subs where she was like expecting to come out. You could see it. And then she did it. And she's like, oh, I'm staying on. Okay.
Okay, cool. Okay.
So I wanted to hand it to her because she is one of our younger players. She really gave it 110%. And I think the humbleness of being like, oh yeah, now I'm coming off, right? And then not coming off, that just really sealed it for me.
That's endearing, for sure.
Yeah.
My player of the match. Liz, do I do two or do I do one in the honorable mention? Because you know what I want to do here. Can I have players? Can I have players?
Yeah.
Watch, I'll do this. I'll be nice. I have an offensive player of the match and a defensive player of the match.
Okay.
On the offensive side of the ball, I got to give it to Jay Moore. Her first goal as a Sun player, the interplay with Flint looked great. She did a really good job up top. The goal was pure class. Didn't take a touch on it, just waited. It was a really well weighted pass to her. She split the defense, had a great run. Great vision to get in between the two defenders and just gave it a little extra oomph. She's been working hard all season in the midfield. So to get that invert and end up in a good attacking spot and to make the most of it, super awesome for her. She's not the type of player that scores a bunch of goals. Don't get accustomed to it. Don't expect it. But it's so cool that she was able to do this. It's something that we talked about earlier, took Brooklyn probably a little by surprise. They were busy locking up Jamona. All of a sudden, we've got our two English women locking up for something awesome. Congrats on the first goal, Jade. We love you. Thanks for coming on the show. Friend of the pod, Jade Moore. and I am cheating here. I will make a habit of this. Get used to it. My defensive player of the game is Brooke Hendricks. She was the anchor in the back three, something that is, a little bit new. We've run it before, but it's a tough thing to make work properly. And she did. The one defensive miscue, I think, was probably end up being probably the midfielder should have locked up Pluck. So I'm not going to say, you know, she should have slid up there. I don't think it was her call. The whole game was really good from her. The whole game was really good from that back three. And she's played so much ball and thrown so much of herself into this season. She is such a player to look up to. If you're a young defender, look at what Henny's doing, because she is all about it. She's awesome. Love her.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, you got a prediction for this game, Liz? Gotham.
3-2. Is that going to be yours?
It was, yeah. That was mine.
Oh, we have twin. We have host link. Brain.
Yeah, I'm hoping you're right, because that's a win for us, and because you're winning the predictions right now amongst everybody.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Don't know. I don't know how. Oh wait. Oh no. Let's say, what does Sunrise say? Sunrise has no data for Gotham. How would it know?
Yeah. No, I think that's a different league. Yep. No, I like the idea of a 3-2. I want it to be an exciting game. It's a friendly, it doesn't count. I want the players to go out there and try some stuff, you know? So I hope maybe I hope Jamona gets herself a goal. I hope we get two goals out of the bench, whoever it may be coming in, you know? Maybe Goins and Jamona. I don't know who starts, I don't know, but I could see Goins, I could see Jamona.
I need Jamona to get a goal so she stays in that golden boot race.
It's not a league game, Liz. Doesn't count.
Dang it! thank you for telling me. I would have known that, but thank you for telling me.
Give me the third one. Paige. She doesn't mean to score, but she does. It was supposed to be a cross, but it goes in anyway.
I think Nocello's going to score.
I would love for Nocello to score.
I think she's going to be so hungry.
yeah, really.
She's gonna be I feel like she's gonna be real hungry to prove herself, especially in this match.
Oh my god, if you want to talk about that real quick, Nocello against an NWSL team. She wants this. You know she does.
Yeah. Understandably, I'd be hungry for it too.
Yeah. Kind of a dream deferred type situation.
So I could see her wanting to see how she really measures up.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can see her being extra, extra hungry for a goal, for sure.
And she always works hard, but she might go a little nuts at one Sunday.
Her position really will be the whole field.
Yeah, exactly.
Including keeper.
Right.
Yeah.
Goal line clearance and a goal for Sydney Nocello. We're calling it. Full sense.
All right. Yeah. I love it. All right. So 3-2 for both of us because we have brain link.
Yeah, we want fun to happen.
We do, and I'm so excited for this match. So your butts better be there, or else.
Your feet,
or else. Yeah.
You're allowed to sit, actually.
So we'll see you there
if you're able to sit.
And we love you. Bye. Love you.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.